this is Cale Clark. Welcome back to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. In light of the Feast of the Archangels on September the 29th, St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael, we're doing this three-part series on the Archangels. Where can you find them in Scripture? What does the Bible have to say about them? Now, in the last episode, we looked at St. Raphael, and we found out that he can be found in the book of Tobit. And today, we're going to look at St. Michael the Archangel. And I thought it'd be appropriate as we begin this episode on St. Michael to really say that beautiful prayer that was composed by St. Leo XIII, Pope St. Leo XIII, imploring the help of St. Michael in our battle against evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. So, we know that St. Michael the Archangel is, of course, the chief of the angels in heaven. He's the Prince of the Heavenly Host. And let me tell you what his name means. And again, just like with all the angels, Gabriel, with Raphael, and now with St. Michael, anytime you see a name in Hebrew that has El in the name, you know that that refers to God. God is in there because El is one of the Hebrew names for God. And this is what St. Michael's name means. Michael means who is like God. And it's a question mark. Who is like God? And of course, the answer is nobody is like God. God is absolutely unique. Now, I've met some people named Michael who have said, well, the name means one who is like God. In other words, I'm like God. Well, no, that's not what it means. It's actually a question in Hebrew. And so this is what's going on here. And I want to wish a happy name day to anybody yesterday on the Feast of St. Michael who is named Michael or Michaela, like my daughter Michaela. It was her name day. And so that's really what that name means. Now, another question that people have about St. Michael the Archangel and also St. Raphael and St. Gabriel, they say, well, how come the angels are called saints? You know, aren't the saints called saints? Well, what's the deal with St. Michael the Archangel? Well, really, this term saint indicates, it comes from a Greek word, hagios, which means the holy ones. And so really, anybody that is holy can be called a saint. And of course, these saints, these angels are with God in heaven. And so they've got heroic virtue. They are the just ones. And so we can call them the saints, just as the canonized saints are in heaven, of course. And St. Paul even calls, you know, regular old Catholics who are members of the earthly church, he calls them saints in his letters too. You know, hey, the saints here greet you, or whatever the case may be. So we're all called to be saints, and so it's an appropriate title for these heavenly beings. Now, again, that prayer that we prayed, the St. Michael the Archangel prayer, that was composed by Pope Leo XIII, who reigned from 1878 to 1903. And while he was celebrating Mass at St. Peter's in Rome, he had a vision, really a prophetic vision about all the evil that was going to be foisted upon the world in the next century, which of course was the 20th century. And we know that that, in fact, was the case. More martyrdoms for Christ in the 20th century than all the other centuries put together. Think about all the great evil and the great dictators, the massive amounts of malevolence that were unleashed in the world and against the church in that century. And it is said that when he got this vision, he turned ashen. The color completely left his face, and he immediately after Mass retreated to his private study where he composed the prayer to St. Michael. And it's an important prayer, and all of us should pray it as often as we possibly can. And certainly after Mass, I think it's a great tradition there. Now, what about the Bible? What does the Bible have to say about St. Michael the Archangel? And you're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. Well, there's really three biblical books that speak of St. Michael. He's mentioned a couple times in the book of Daniel. We'll get into that in just a minute. He's also mentioned in the book of Jude and in the book of Revelation. So Jude and Revelation, of course, being New Testament books. So let's take a look at where we can find St. Michael in the book of Daniel. Let's take a look at Daniel chapter 10 in the Old Testament. It says, "In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, 'Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you.' And when he said this to me, I stood up, trembling. Then he continued, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come.' While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, 'I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe.' Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. 'Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed,' he said. 'Peace, be strong now, be strong.' When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, 'Speak, my lord, since you have given me strength.' So he said, 'Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince. And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and protect him.'" Okay, so that's Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 to chapter 11, verse 1. And we see there two times that Michael is mentioned, St. Michael the Archangel. Now, this heavenly angel appears to Daniel. We don't know what the name of this angel is. Some people think it's Gabriel, but there's no indication of that. And so he's speaking to Daniel. He says, "Oh, by the way, I'm coming in response to your prayer, but I was detained for 21 days by the prince of the Persian kingdom." What on earth is that all about? Well, this was a malevolent angel, a fallen angel, that had tried to block the response from God, the response to prayer. And it really gives us a bit of a sneak preview into the heavenly warfare that's going on behind earthly events. Now, if you want to check the podcast for my other program called The Cale Clark Show for September the 29th, 2021, you'll find a more fuller explanation of what's going on behind the scenes, what's going on in this heavenly warfare that really is mirroring conflicts that happen on earth. But suffice it to say that this angel said Michael, St. Michael the Archangel, had to come and help him in this struggle, and finally the message gets to Daniel. And then he's mentioned again at the end of the chapter, "No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince." And then Michael appears again in Daniel chapter 12. And this is a fascinating passage. We don't have time to get into all of it, but check out this wonderful, wonderful couple of verses here in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of this scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. And hey, many will tune into Relevant Radio to increase their knowledge, hopefully. And so this is the second time in the book of Daniel that St. Michael the Archangel is mentioned. And this is a fascinating verse because it refers to the future resurrection. It's one of the few explicit passages about the resurrection in the Old Testament. And it's the only one that talks about the double resurrection of the righteous and the wicked. Now, here's what it says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And so in the ancient mind, the angels were often compared to stars. So this idea of heavenly glory for those who, hey, this is a great impetus for doing evangelism, right? For sharing our faith, will shine like the stars forever and ever if we can help lead many people to righteousness. And of course, the only righteous person is Jesus Christ himself, the God-man. And so if we lead people to him, we lead them to true righteousness. So that's the book of Daniel where St. Michael the Archangel is mentioned there. Now, let's look at some New Testament verses that talk about St. Michael the Archangel. You're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. Let's take a look at the letter of Jude in the New Testament. Now remember, the letter of Jude in the New Testament, it's so short, it doesn't have any chapters, just verses. And in Jude verse 9, it says, "But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a reviling judgment upon him, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" Now in that verse, a couple of interesting things. Number one, Michael is specifically called an archangel. Here in this verse. But what on earth is Jude referring to? What's this incident when the devil is disputing with St. Michael about the body of Moses? That's not in the Bible anywhere. Well, the answer is we really don't know where that came from. Let's talk about that just a little bit. This is an event which Jude, by the way, now Jude says this actually happened. He's putting this in his letter. He's just kind of stating it like everybody knows what he's talking about. And he obviously thinks this is a truism, that this actually happened. And so where did this happen? We don't know for sure. Obviously, Jude is quoting from some sort of a book that might have been known to his readers, but not known to us. In fact, we don't know what it was. There's been lots of theories, but no one has ever found this Jewish work that talks about this event. Now, what's going on with, in terms of the actual a dispute about the body of Moses? Well, there's lots of conjecture about that, too. One theory is that since Satan is, and by the way, the word Satan or the name Satan is a Persian loanword into Hebrew, which means opponent. He's the accuser of the brethren, as it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 10. He's almost like a prosecuting attorney of God's people. He might have been resisting the plan of God to raise Moses to heaven, to eternal life. Why? Why would Satan want to fight against this? Well, he would probably bring up all of Moses' sins. He always wants to say, oh, remember he did this, the sin at Meribah, which is mentioned in Deuteronomy 32:51, because you broke faith with me in the midst of the people of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the people of Israel. Remember that? That might have been something that Satan was bringing up to God, accusing Moses. He also might have brought up the fact that Moses murdered the Egyptian back in Exodus chapter 2, verse 12. See, he was a murderer. But again, there's no sin that can keep us apart from God. As long as we are repentant and we confess that sin to him, he will forgive us. Think about King David. He was an adulterer and a murderer, and yet God forgave him, even for those dastardly deeds. And the same is true in the case of Moses. Some people also think that Jude might be referring to what's talked about in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In Zechariah chapter 3 in the Old Testament, it says, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him." And then here again we see Satan almost as the prosecuting attorney. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you.'" So this phrase, "the Lord rebuke you," is exactly what's quoted by St. Michael the Archangel in Jude verse 9. So we don't really know for sure. There's some speculation also that Jude might be quoting a book that, again, is not part of the Bible. It's been lost to the sands of time. Who knows? Maybe archaeology will turn it up one day. One theory is that it might be a book known as The Assumption of Moses. That might be the missing book, and nobody has found this book. But there's an early church writer in the time of the church fathers. His name is Origen, and Origen was talked about a lot. He had some interesting theories. Pope Benedict did some talks about him when he was pope. Origen lived from 185 AD to 254 AD. He was a scholar, he was a theologian, and he talks about this book, The Assumption of Moses. And in it, there's kind of another account of this contest between St. Michael the Archangel and Satan regarding the body of Moses. And in this theory, there's some theories about this. There's also some theories representing Zechariah chapter 3, which I mentioned earlier, that the dispute might have been, hey, the assumption of Moses. Again, that's what this missing book is called, The Assumption of Moses. This idea that God wanted to bring Moses' body and soul into heaven, but Satan fought against this idea. No, don't do it. Why would Satan not want exalted, assumed human bodies in heaven? Well, there's an interesting reason behind this, and it has to do with the very next time that St. Michael is mentioned in Scripture, and that is in Revelation chapter 12. We're going to look at that right now. And again, you're listening to The Faith Explained on Relevant Radio. I'm your host, Cale Clark. Let's look at Revelation chapter 12. And if you want more on this, check out the Revelation series that we did on The Faith Explained. You can find the archives at relevantradio.com. So we won't be able to get into all of it in detail, but we will read it together, at least part of it. In Revelation chapter 12, we read these words. "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was with child, and she cried out in her pangs of birth and anguish for delivery. And another sign appeared in heaven, behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems upon his heads. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to bear a child, that he might devour her child when she brought it forth. She brought forth a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God in which to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now, again, just to stop here for a second, went into much more detail on this in the Revelation series, but suffice it to say that this great red dragon, of course, is the ancient serpent, the devil, and Satan, and the woman whose child he wants to devour, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. But the woman, obviously, is Mary, and she's represented as the Ark of the New Covenant here, but also she's a figure of the Church and also of Daughter Zion of Israel. And Pope Benedict, when he was Joseph Ratzinger, talked a lot about this in his writings. All right, now let's find out where St. Michael gets into play here, and let's pick it up now at verse 7 in Revelation 12. It says, "Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. and the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who was called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Rejoice then, O heaven, and you that dwell therein. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. So let's stop it there just for a moment, and we'll talk about this together. So obviously St. Michael here, and we've seen him in the book of Daniel and in the letter of Jude as well. He appears. Now, Daniel prophesied that he would appear at the end of time, at this time of great distress and tribulation. We see this especially in Daniel 12. Well, here he is. And so he is fighting against the enemy and his forces, which are making war on Jesus, on Our Lady, and on the church. Now, the early fathers of the church in the patristic period, they had an interesting interpretation of this. They think that this is really Revelation 12. One of the things about this mystical passage is that it's really a peek behind the curtain at what happened at the beginning of creation when Satan fell, when Lucifer, who was a powerful angel in heaven, became Satan. He became fallen, and he took a third of the angels with him. They became fallen angels, became demons. And this is why it says back in verse 4 of Revelation 12, his tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven. Again, stars are symbolic of angels. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And so this is the idea that a third of the angels went with Satan in his plot to try to overthrow God. Didn't work, obviously. They got kicked out of heaven. So this is what's going on here. Now, why did he do this? Why would he want to rebel against God? Well, in the Book of Wisdom, the Wisdom of Solomon, it gives us the answer. In the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 24, it says that the reason why Satan tempted our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden was because he was envious. Because he was envious. Why? Because he couldn't fathom the fact that God loved humans so much that he actually wanted to share his life with them, his grace with them. And he was jealous, he was envious, and he wanted to destroy them. And so that's really what might have got him kicked out of heaven in the first place, that really might have led to his revolt. Another thing, too, is that the fathers of the church used to say this as well, that think about this, that the plan to save humanity with the incarnation, that would have meant, obviously, Jesus uniting a human nature, becoming the God-man to his already pre-existent divine nature, that would have meant that all of the angels would have had to worship the God-man, would have had to worship human nature in a certain sense. Not only that, but Mary, another creature, you know, God took a part of creation, human flesh from Our Lady and united it to himself. Guess what? Another creature, Mary, was destined to be the queen of angels, and Satan just could not handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. It's like a few good men. And so he was just so twisted with anger. He did not want any part of this, and so he gets kicked out, and this is why he wants to destroy not only our first parents, but you and I as well. And one of the things it says in Revelation 12:10 is that the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And again, this harkens back to Zechariah chapter 3 in the Old Testament. Satan's like the prosecuting attorney. He always wants to bring up our sins, our past. And God says, I don't know what you're talking about, because I've forgiven their sin. Those who have turned to me, those who have trusted in me for my mercy and forgiveness, I remember their sins no more. Isn't that really, really good news? And so scholar Michael Barber talks about how we need to exercise regularly. And by exercise, he means exorcisms. Satan is cast down, of course, at the beginning of creation. We talked about that, how the early fathers interpreted this passage in Revelation 12, and of course, St. Michael's involved in that. But also, Jesus cast out Satan definitively on earth through his victory on the cross. And that's why, when he's predicting all of this is going to happen, in John chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus says, "Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out." And who's the ruler of this world? Satan, the prince of the power of the air, as St. Paul calls him. So he has been given a lot of leeway here on this planet. He somehow can really offer Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. He somehow has some control over them in this present age. But Jesus says, "Now I'm going to cast him out." And he definitively defeats him on the cross. So those are the three places you can find St. Michael the Archangel in the Bible. In the book of Daniel, where he appears twice, in Daniel 10 and Daniel 12. We also see him, of course, in Jude verse 9 and in Revelation chapter 12. Now, St. Michael the Archangel is the patron saint of soldiers, of doctors, of mariners, first responders, and we're so thankful for them during these last few months of this pandemic, police officers. He's the guardian of the universal church. Apparently, he's also the patron saint of grocers. I have no idea why. That's a question I just can't answer. All right, so that's St. Michael the Archangel. And in the next episode, we're going to talk about St. Gabriel, the other one of the three archangels mentioned in the Bible. But where? I think you might know the answer to this, but we're going to explore it a little bit more in depth on the next episode of The Faith Explained. Until then, I'm your host, Cale Clark. Please share the podcast with a friend. Please rate and review or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And it's a great way for people to help discover us. And God bless you. Catch you in the next one. Peace.